That's a short reading. About a tree growing from a seed and yeast working in the bread. I broke out my bread machine last week, so I needed to buy some yeast and I needed to buy some flour. Went to the supermarket. There was a grain mixture on special, so I thought I'll have that. So I thought I'd save $1.50. Made the first loaf, took a bite and cracked a tooth on one of the grains. So $170 to the dentist versus $1.50 saved. Jesus always used organic parables, things that were experienced by people around. And he used it, applied it to the kingdom of God. Now, what's the kingdom of God? Thinking about this, Jesus himself defines it in the Lord's Prayer. What does he say? Your kingdom come. What's the couplet following? Your will be done. And that's a Hebrew couplet saying the same thing in two ways. So the kingdom of God is where God's will is done. Pretty straightforward, I think. The kingdom of God. So it can be in a person's life if we follow God's will. Could be in a group, hopefully a church is a place where God's will is done. Could be in a society. And so what Jesus is saying, how God's kingdom grows. It's an organic growth, like a seed that springs up and from a small beginning, there's a vast canopy of biomass. Or the yeast going from 7 grams in 500 grams of flour, 520 grams of flour, 7 grams of yeast. I've got that memorised. So a little bit of yeast goes a long way, and the dough, you can see it rise and produce a loaf that's homogeneous, except for little grains, which are dangerous. So Jesus is saying that Jesus was a carpenter's son in a backwater of an occupied tin pot territory, and two millennia later the Christian church numbers 1.5 billion or something like that. So his prediction about the kingdom of God has come true, and he makes the point that birds of the air can find shelter in it, and he's probably looking forward to the growth in among the Jewish people and then spreading out to the Gentiles, so that all sorts of strange forms of life find shelter in the tree, which is the kingdom of God. The interesting thing about yeast is that you buy the yeast in, the yeast exists in little, I think they're the cells. They're like a football, tiny little football. But they reproduce by growing a bud. If you come to 9:15, I've got a picture of it showing the microscope, how a bud forms from the yeast, and it actually grows bigger and splits off and becomes another yeast cell. So it's every part of the kingdom of God should be reproducing and should be spreading. And the kingdom of God in ourselves should be coming to occupy every part of our existence and control every part of our lives, that God's will is followed perfectly. So Jesus' prediction has come to fulfillment, and the kingdom of God in the form of the church has spread throughout the world. Now, at this point, I thought I could go in one of two directions. One would be just to look at those parts of the world which still have not heard the name of Jesus. And there are a lot of people who still haven't. Or I could look at our society and reflect on what the state of things is in our society. Because if we look at our society, there's negative growth. We're shrinking. Now, First of all, let's make a distinction between spirituality and religion. A lot of people like to say, I'm spiritual but I'm not religious. So what are they saying? Spirituality is a recognition of the spiritual dimension of our lives. It's characterised by the intangible other. There's reality beyond what we can see and feel and experience with our senses. There's another reality out there, some other. That's spirituality. When spirituality is institutionalised, it's religion. So it's institutionalised, for instance, in Hinduism, Taoism, Buddhism, Christianity, Islam. That is, our spiritual conceptions are ordered they're formalised in a religion. Now, spirituality is booming. Religion is shrinking. People are very spiritual, but religion is not having a good run. An example. The church we came from in Brisbane, there were five older couples. We call ourselves the Wrinkleys. And we had 22 children between us. We were a fecund group. Today, three of that 22 children are connected with the church. And I think you could probably have the same experience. That things aren't looking too good for the Christian church. Just this week, the Golden Square Methodist Church is up for sale. David Urin, our Methodist friend, tells us that it was the biggest Methodist church outside of Melbourne in the 1930s. Now the building's being sold because the congregation's so old and small. So the church as an institution is suffering and decline, but it's not the only institution that's suffering decline. Every institution in the Western world is suffering a decline. Nobody wants to belong to an institution. For instance, politics. The membership of political parties is going down, down, down because people are disappointed with politics. Medicine is... The growth of alternate medicines is enormous. The Blackmores, which is the... makes alternative medicines. The shares got to $110 last week, which is worth more than BHP, Rio Tinto combined. And they're just selling pills and potions. So there's a loss of faith in the medical profession, and people are turning to alternatives. The church is just one... belonging to professional societies, the memberships are falling all over. The only institution that seems to be held in high regard is marriage, because everybody says we've got to hold marriage up. Marriage is desirable. It's what you need. Yeah. Those of us who are married know that, of course, that that's wedded bliss. It's bizarre that same-sex marriage is being held up when every other institution is being denigrated. Now, institutions die from the inside. They don't die because of some outside imposed activity. Now, I'm not a sociologist, and I don't think anybody could put their finger on why the whole scene is changing like that, but I'll have a stab at a few things, my opinions. First of all, what is not causing the church membership to fall, although blamed for it, there are two things I could identify. One is the new atheism. It's been promoted strongly, very vocal. The wonderful spokespersons like Richard Dawkins and Hitchens and others. But atheism isn't new. Psalm 14 says, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. So atheism's not new. And it's a funny philosophy, it's a barren philosophy. What do you say? There is no God. Okay, what do you say next? Well, there isn't. There really isn't any God. There's no content to atheism. What you have to do is say, people who do believe in God are misguided. For a lot of people, it's just a lazy cop-out. And there aren't many people who really are atheists, committed, thought-through atheists. It's just a way of saying, oh, well, look, I can't be bothered at all that. I'm an atheist. The second thing that people blame for decline in churches is evolution. I'm in the science area. I read up. My current book is Are We Alone in the Universe? Is there life out there? Intelligent life. One joke is that if there's intelligent life out there, they haven't contacted us because they would see no point in it. But evolution is a description of change. By definition, something evolves from a previous state into something new. And it doesn't answer the ultimate questions of how it all began and why it began. Evolution fills in some gaps, but it's not really, to a Christian scientist, a scientist who is a Christian, it's no problem. The people who try to put science and faith against one another making a false confrontation because it suits their purposes. It doesn't relate to reality. I could go on at length, but anyway, evolution's not causing, I don't believe. What's the reason for a decline in church membership? Well, I think underlying it all is just prosperity. We're the wealthiest society that's ever been. We've got a case of affluenza. Now, if you're wealthy, it allows you to indulge in all sorts of possibilities. And it means that we can have independence. We can buy things. We don't need society. We don't need community. We can buy every service. We can indulge what we want. We can have a lot of possessions, travel, independence. It opens up a whole range of possibilities. And all of them foster the big me, as one author called it, the big me. We're a society that, because of our prosperity, is able to indulge me. It's fostered narcissism. A couple of examples. It's fascinating that tattoos are now de rigueur for people. I'm expressing my independence, who I am. It's the big me. The social media, you know, Facebook and so on, it's all, I want a voice, I want to be heard, I want to put something out there. I'm somebody. Now, all those kinds of things, social media doesn't encourage community, it destroys community. Because you only talk to people that are like you, who you want to talk to. You're not forced to engage with people that are different from you. So, once again, it's fostering the big me. And it's interesting that in society, the disruptors are receiving a lot of acclaim. Now, by disruptor, it's some new technique that damages existing institutions. The electronic media is destroying the post office, for instance. Bitcoin is aimed at destroying the banks. Uber is aimed at destroying the taxi industry. These are the disruptors, and they're the great future. They're the way forward, more efficient. But you see, they destroy community. even in spirituality, it shows itself. It's fashionable to be known as spiritual. Now, what you get as a result is a sort of folk religion. It takes something from a mainstream religion and turn it to serve you. See, most people aren't atheists. They think that there's some sort of afterlife, which is good. But it's not Christianity. It's not resurrection. It's some sort of ongoing personal existence. And it's personalised for each believer to their interests. Like Philip, what's the cricketer that got hit on the head? He's playing cricket in heaven. This is folk religion, and that's thriving. The good thing about folk religion is it makes no demands on you. You don't have to put anything in the plate or serve your fellow believer. It's serving you. It's the big me. So it's manipulated for our benefit. And so there's no need for institution in that sort of faith, that sort of spirituality. So where do we go from here? I believe that what's happening is a shaking out of the population, which has had historical and traditional allegiance to the Christian creed. Question, was every person in church 100 years ago a really committed believing Christian? Were they really trying to realise the kingdom of God in their lives, to do God's will? I doubt it. See, when conformity was no longer expected, we all became individualistic, and there was this falling away that we've observed in the church. By the way, the pedophile scandal in the churches has done nothing at all to help the Christian faith. It's been dreadful. It's not so much the actual activity, it's been the churches have refused to accept it and own it and do something about it. And that's all institutions, by the way, not just, it's the state institution that's just as much to blame as the Christian churches. But that hasn't helped the cause either. Now, it's interesting that a few verses after those two parables, Jesus said this. The parables were 18 to 21. Verse 24, Jesus said, "Strive to enter through the narrow door, for many, I tell you, will try to enter and will not be able." Now, he's referring, it's expanded more in Matthew, you know, about there's a narrow gate and a narrow way, and there's a wide way, and many find the wide way. And that comes straight after this parable. So Jesus himself is accepting that although there might be a lot of nominal following, that the kingdom of God is not an easy road. Few find it. So to finish, on a positive note, the kingdom of God can't prevail. The gates of hell can't prevail against the kingdom of God. God's doing his work across the world. Churches are booming in some places. People are becoming Christian from all sorts of backgrounds. The birds of the air are flocking to the tree. We here in the West are suffering from our own affluenza. But be positive, because the kingdom of God in the end will prevail.